Thank you, Brother George, for sharing those encouraging thoughts with us in relation to our focus in life. And we greet each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. I thought of the words of the Apostle Paul. I'm just going to read his salutation to the Philippian church when he wrote the letter to them, because I think it summarizes our thoughts as a ministry for you, each of you as part of our brotherhood here, our congregation. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. May God bless each of us in this unique time in which we are endeavoring to serve our Lord and to understand his will and purposes for our lives. This week, in thinking of the season of the year and Christmas, as we call it, know it as, in relation to the birth of Christ, some of those thoughts were going through my mind. And think of a message for today. Also, a few thoughts came to my mind while listening to the school program Friday evening, especially one of the songs that the older class sung about the desire to hold the hand of the one. This isn't exact words, but to hold the hand of the one who controls the universe or controls the storm. In thinking of that, I thought of this familiar passage. I'd like to take your thoughts to it this morning. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 to 27, it's a familiar story. It's one of my favorites, not so much as it relates to the teaching of Jesus, but as it relates to the person of Jesus. And thinking of the Christmas season and all the things that are said about the birth of Christ, and Lord willing, next Sunday morning we'll look at that more in detail. But in thinking of Christ and his coming into the world as the God-man, God incarnate, and yet they saw him mostly as a normal man. They didn't see many times the divine aspect of his person, and except at times through some of his miracles. But this was early in the ministry of Jesus, and it was a bit of a shock experience to the disciples as they witnessed something about the power of Christ. You know, there was one thing to heal the lame or to restore sight to the blind or things like that, because there's a healing aspect to that that can almost, that's a miracle, no doubt about it, but it can also relate to someone just getting better. It's not quite the same when you think about Christ here. And so this morning, I've entitled the message, "What Manner of Man Is This?" This is a question that they raised in verse 27. But I would like to read now verse 23 to 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'd like to turn back to Mark chapter 4. There's also two other parallel accounts. I'll just read those, give a few details, maybe a little bit different than Matthew's version of it. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, one more parallel passage in Luke chapter 8. And verse 22, and it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wandered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. This is one of the passages that you, possibly with me, will turn to at times when we feel a little weak in our faith. And we are so a part of this material, temporal world that many times we have a hard time focusing on the supernatural. We have a hard time seeing beyond this material world to understand and fathom, as it were, the God of creation. And so this morning, I'd like to just encourage us. The Bible characterizes the last days as a time when fear will grip many hearts. And I'm not saying that we are gripped with fear this morning, but maybe at times we need our faith to be strengthened and encouraged. You know, those who do not possess a firm faith in God will be susceptible to the delusions of the last days. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And there are those who, under the pressures of the last days, will turn away and allow themselves to lose their faith. And so this morning, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is it that we serve in our lives? Who is with us as a Christian in our ship, as we sail the sea of life? We want to focus this morning on these two questions. The first question is, what manner of man is this? And then when Jesus asked the question, why are ye so fearful? Or we could also use the other quote that says, where is your faith? And so those are the questions we'd like to consider this morning. Now think first with me about the situation that produced these questions. It had been a very busy day. It was now evening time. There were throngs of people around him and around the disciples all day long. And you with me know how tiring it is to be in a throng of people all day long. You know, we enjoy like all day meetings. We enjoy, you know, fellowship meetings when there's a lot of people, we're together. We enjoy that. We look forward to that, Lord willing, in June again. But you know, it is tiring. And they were said been surrounded by the throngs of people all day long. Jesus told the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee, to go to the other side. They were probably in a small, open little fishing boat that they with a sail, like they still use on the lake there in Galilee. You know, and partway across, a violent storm blew in with high waves and strong wind. Some of us have been on the Kootenai Lake, and you know how quick a storm can come up there, and the waves can come up pretty fast. And I picture sort of that experience here. And we're told that the Sea of Galilee can become very, very rough, very, very quickly. And so there were some of them that were certainly used to life of boats and fishing. But this storm was really rough, and they were tired. And the waves were breaking over the sides of the boat. They were probably bailing for all they could. And now they knew that they had lost in this little battle with the water. Their boat was full to the point of sinking. It was getting dark, and they felt alone. They were frightened. Jesus was very weary, and he was asleep in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow of some kind, asleep, which is interesting. I enjoy water, but I don't enjoy water that much that I would sleep in the middle of a storm probably like that. You probably either. I think that is significant when you think about what manner of man is this. Why would Jesus have been afraid? Isn't that why he asked them about their faith? We'll probably come to that a little bit later. But in their desperation, they awoke him and asked, you know, this question, "Carest thou not that we perish?" It was a cry of fear, maybe a little of self-pity, but probably more than a little accusatory. "You don't care that we perish? We call you master? You just sleep through this? You know, where is your care for us as your disciples?" Jesus awakes. And I picture him in my mind standing up in the middle of that howling wind and storm, looking out across those waves, and he just said three words, "Peace be still." And immediately, the Bible says, there was a great calm. A great calm. It just stopped right there. The disciples looked at each other, and it seems they all asked the same question at the same time. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? They were still learning to know their master. This was in the early part of his ministry. And Jesus then in that context asked them a question, "Why are ye so fearful?" Or, "Where is your faith?" Now, I'd like to think first of all, or next, about this question that they ask, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? They discovered something that day in relation to Christ, that he was a different sort of man than they had ever met before. This was one man, God-man, we would say, who has all creation under his complete command. We think about a lot of situations in this material world in which we live. And all the things that, whether it's disasters or pandemics or you go down the list of all the things that man would sure wish they could control, but they don't. What manner of man is this? We serve a living Christ. And a story like this just reaffirms to us that he is the God-man that has all control of his creation. He spoke it into being, and he can speak it into obedience with a simple word. That should encourage us this morning when we think about the perplexities of life that we face. We could say the storms of life that we face. When it seems like the wind is out of control, it's when it seems like the waves are higher than we can deal with anymore. When our boat is about full. He has all control of his creation. He is a man whom devils know and fear and obey. Esther and I were just reading the other evening about, him healing there in the book of Luke, it says he just healed them all. The multitude that came to him. And those with devils, he cast them out. The devil sometimes crying out and saying, we know who you are. You're Jesus. And he would rebuke them. He was a man whom devils knew and fear and obey. He is a man who can tell you what your thoughts and questions are before you say a word. Also reading there in the book of Luke, in the middle of some of those situations there, when he was in a synagogue that one day, there was a man there with a withered hand. The scribes and the Pharisees were standing there watching him to see whether he would heal that man on the Sabbath day. They were just watching him. It says that Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" They wouldn't say a word. They were just waiting to see what he would do. He knew exactly what they were thinking. He told the man to stand forward with the withered hand. And he did. And then Jesus said, "Stretch forth your hand." And he did. And it was made whole like the other. But he's a man. Jesus is a man, a God-man, who can tell you what your thoughts and questions are before you say a thing. We don't have to, in our prayers, tell Jesus how we're feeling. Now, we do, and it's right to do that because he hears it from our hearts, and it portrays our understanding of ourselves. But in Christ's knowledge, we don't need to tell him our struggles. We don't need to tell him our problems so that he knows what's happening inside of us. He knows all that. We tell him those things as a revelation of our knowledge, our humility, our surrender, and our need about ourselves. He is also a man who has power on earth to forgive sins. We can think of that story where they challenged him in relation to him forgiving that man who was let down through the roof on a bed, who had palsy, whose friends wanted him to get close to Jesus and be healed. And there Jesus said that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed." Aren't we glad this morning that we understand something about the manner of this man? Not only in the storms of life, but also in his power to forgive sins. He's also a man who can raise the dead. As he was following along there in this came across this multitude of people that were, or a group of people that were following the coffin of that young man who had died. His mother walking there in that procession, they're going to bury him, weeping. And all Jesus did was touch the casket, the coffin, and that man was alive. What manner of man is this who can raise the dead? Is a man who feels the hurts and shares the tears of his friends. Just think of him there at the grave of Lazarus, where it tells us that Jesus wept. The hurt and the tears that are so often shed in the face of death. Jesus understands. What manner of man is this that shares the hurts and the tears of those who lose a loved one? He is also a man, a God-man, who opened paradise for all the condemned and the dying men and women. The words of Jesus there, as he was struggling with his own pain and suffering in the midst of his own dying, he offered paradise. He opened the door of paradise for that dying man beside him on the other cross, who by faith had responded to him in the last moments of his life, took advantage of that opportunity when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And on the basis of that expression of his faith and repentance and humility and surrender to what God had for him, Jesus' promise to him was that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It is a man who has opened paradise for each of us as we come to him in faith and repentance. I use the term a man in relation to these points because he is a man, but you know, so much more than a man, the God-man, as we say, the one who came down in human flesh, which we think about this time of year in the incarnation, God in man, to fulfill the purposes of God and to reveal to us our Heavenly Father in human flesh. Next, I'd like to think about this question, why are ye so fearful? When we stop to think about who Christ is, his power, his provision for us, his providential care, and all that he has done for us, continues to do for us in our lives, it's no wonder that Jesus asked this question, What are you afraid of? Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? If he is truly our master and we truly are his disciples, isn't it a very logical question that if we understand who he is, that we would understand when he says, "Why are you so fearful?" I admit that I struggle at times with the uncertainties of life, and you know, and Brother George and I were just discussing this morning before the service. You know, and the need for wisdom and to somehow understand what God wants of us in these days. I wouldn't say necessarily fearful, but it's just like, where are the answers? And I think about this in relation to this passage. He is with us in the ship. Why would we be afraid? Could the creation drown the Creator? As the songwriter profoundly expressed these words, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. It's because they didn't know for sure who he was. They didn't recognize him there as he lay asleep in that ship in the midst of that storm. They did not see him as the creator of the universe. He was a special teacher. He was rabbi. He was master, maybe. But they failed to recognize him as the creator of the universe. Otherwise, they would not have been afraid at all. Because there's no way the water that he created could drown him or take his life. We hinted at this before, but it's the reason that Jesus could sleep in the midst of that storm is because why would he be afraid of the storm? He wasn't afraid of the storm. It only took a couple words and it was all over. Jesus could sleep because there was nothing to fear. And he said to the disciples, I'm with you, so why are you afraid? There's nothing to be afraid of. We sometimes in our lives feel very overwhelmed and alone. And it's even worse when it's dark outside. And we're tired. It's been a long day. Sometimes our boat just seems pretty full as the waves splash over the sides. And you just see that it just seems like, you know, the gunwale is just lower and lower in the water as the waves seemingly wash over us. It sometimes feels in our life like our master, like Jesus, is asleep. And that can feel very lonely. And maybe it's how they felt that he wasn't really interested in the immediate circumstances that they felt were threatening to overwhelm them. If Christ is the master of our lives, then remember that he is the master of the storms. Why are ye so fearful? Why are we so fearful? Where is our faith? I think we sometimes doubt the power of Christ like the disciples. You know, and when Jesus just got up or stood up or whatever he did there and say, peace be still, it seems so simple. But to doubt the power of Christ will not deliver us from the storms. Or we may falsely assume that since heaven seems asleep in our situation, he doesn't care about us. And there's times that the devil taunts us with that thought. You know, that God isn't looking your way. You know, that maybe it seems like Jesus is asleep. Heaven is silent. But it doesn't mean that the presence is not with us. We can falsely assume that he doesn't care. And we may at times almost cry out like the disciples and say, carest thou not that we perish? Certainly he cared. But their danger was not the danger they perceived it to be in comparison to him being with them and the power of his word. We may also allow others' fears, to disturb our peace. You know how it is, maybe as children or, you know, where you're in a situation where, oh, I could recount a few that you probably could identify with. You know, you get some boys together and got brave enough to start throwing rocks at a big hornet's nest. or things like that, where, you know, as long as everybody kind of stuck together and you were, you know, you could keep enough bravery in it, it's probably not something you do by yourself. But it takes a few friends to bolster your courage until all of a sudden one of them bolts and runs, and all of a sudden we're all gone. You know how that works. It's just a simple illustration, but, you know, we can allow others' fears to disturb our peace, you know, and spiritually, or in relation to the world around us, society. Sometimes we can feel brave until, as long as others are feeling brave. Or we sometimes concentrate maybe on our own bailing of the water, trying to keep that water level down in the ship, in the boat. And maybe trying to use our own wit to save us. You know, and we bail and we bail and we bail in our lives because we haven't woken up our master. We haven't asked him for help. You know, as far as him being asleep there, it wasn't that he did not care, or maybe he did not even, was not even aware. I don't know the situation. But you know, many times I believe that Christ waits until we ask. He waits until we ask. He wants us to know and to recognize our need and the desperation of our hearts. He's there to help. Just like many of those whom he healed there in his earthly ministry, they needed to ask. They needed to respond. They needed to reach out to him. And then he always graciously helped them and healed them. We too often focus on the storm rather than the master. And the familiar story of Peter walking on the water for that short time period illustrates that. It's when he saw the wind and the waves, that was in a different story, he began to sink. You know, we would naturally choose calm seas in our lives. We don't like storms. We don't like the pounding waves when we're feeling threatened. We would naturally choose a calm sea with little wind. But remember that we need wind to sail. Calm seas will never move our ship toward home. It is not the gale, as the poet said, it is not the gale, but the set of the sail. Calm seas are nice, but in sailing, they mean no forward movement. I thought of the words of this song we sing sometimes. If on a quiet sea toward heaven we calmly sail, with grateful hearts, O God, to thee, we own the favoring gale. But should the surges rise and rest delay to come, now listen, blessed be the tempest, kind the storm, which drives us nearer home. Soon shall our doubts and fears all yield to thy control. Thy tender mercies shall illume the midnight of the soul. Teach us in every state to make thy will our own, and when the joys of sense depart, to live by faith alone. This morning, do we know the answer to the first question? Well enough in our lives to keep our faith strong. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? How is our faith? Again, the song that I referred to in the beginning, the chorus, the upper grade sang the other evening, goes like this. I want to hold the hand of the man who can walk on water. I want to hold to the hand of the man who can calm the sea. I want to hold to the hand of the man who can look inside my heart and see just exactly what it is that I need. May God help us this morning in our lives as we think about storms. We think about sailing on the sea of life. We can look back and see where Christ was with us when at times we actually thought he was asleep. But he was there, encouraging us and helping us. And as we face the storms of life today, whatever that means to us in the personal sense, in the family sense, in the congregational sense, storms, we have Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, with us. And with one word, as he chooses, he can change all the circumstances that initiate that storm for us. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to have faith. And in the leading and the blessing of God, and remember who is with us. What manner of man is this? We need not fear. We need not be afraid. Christ is with us. Let's bow our heads for prayer.